I remember seeing it while watching the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, British Columbia, during the luge run. For those who are not Canadians, luge is a sled. And there it was, a yellow poster board sign with the inscription John 3, verse 16, written on it in big black letters. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Even the Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow etches this verse into the anti-glare black grease under his eyes. It's a wearing of the faith, if you will, that's intended in a subtle way to focus on the light and to reduce the glare. In our gospel today, these words are spoken in the context of a night visit of Nicodemus to Jesus. Now, Nicodemus is a member of the Pharisee and a member of the ruling Sanhedrin. Like so many others who has heard Jesus, he's fascinated by this worker of wonders. So he arranges to meet Jesus at night because Nicodemus didn't want to arouse suspicion of his own motives and stance. So to help Nicodemus come into the light of understanding, Jesus uses a good catechetical approach. He talks the language of the listener. Jesus reminds this teacher of Israel, who is very much in the dark, of a story from their very own Hebrew scriptures. When the Israelites grumbled against the Lord during their wandering in the desert, they are struck with a plague of serpents whose bite could cause death. The people come to Moses and admit their sinfulness and ask Moses to intercede for them with God. And when Moses does, and when he does, God tells Moses to forge a bronze serpent and raise it up before those who are stricken. If they gaze on it, they will be saved. This seems such a great paradox, healing and life from gazing on a creature of death. But the people obey and are healed. Jesus uses this story as a parable of himself. My friends, in our own humanity, we are all bitten by death. Yet Jesus tells Nicodemus that God, who is love, wants to give us a life that never ends. And it's the same Jesus who will be brutally and senselessly twisted around the wood of the cross and raised up for our salvation. Jesus speaks about being lifted up from the earth and drawing all to himself for healing and salvation, just like the bronze serpent in the desert. In John's gospel, the raising or lifting up always has the double sense of crucifixion and exaltation and death and resurrection, because these two movements are inseparable. The cross that will be raised up and venerated on Good Friday will give way at the Easter vigil to the raised Easter candle, from which we will catch fire and renew our baptismal commitment as followers of Jesus Christ. And in order to gaze with eyes of faith on this mystery and commit ourselves to it will mean eternal life. The people of Israel thought that to follow in God's way would mean an end to tragedy and suffering, but they discovered differently. As the time in the wilderness went on and on, they began to see that just because it's free doesn't mean it's without cost. Brothers and sisters, I think a lot of times we're like the people of Israel. We live in a society that expects instant gratification. And we think we have a sense of entitlement to all the good things in life, and we expect to have it all now. We don't expect to continue to find ourselves wandering in the desert. We don't expect to meet with adversity. We don't expect to meet with trouble or sorrow or hardship along the way. When we choose to follow Christ, I think sometimes we have the notion that it will mean that somehow we have tapped into a magical way of avoiding anything bad happening in our lives, and that it will all work out like some harlequin romance where every story has its happy ending. Not. To be unafraid or unashamed of professing our friendship with Jesus by the way we live always brings hard demands. Like the words of the gospel, we often prefer the false safety of darkness to the light of Christ that exposes, for example, our selfish or violent selves. My friends, the season of Lent is designed to drag us out of our darkness into the Easter light of Christ through prayer, fasting, and the almsgiving of the gift of ourselves, like being present for the Nehemiah action on Monday, March 26th, as well as the offer of material assistance to our sisters and brothers in many kinds of need. Lent is a time to open ourselves to the overwhelming mystery of God's all-inclusive love for us and for all people of the world. Our call as Christians is to be that living sign of John chapter 3, verse 16. Because all of us yearn to be lifted up, all of us yearn for light and hope, and all of us yearn for the embrace of God, that is Jesus. I think sometimes the realization that we are really loved by God is difficult to grasp. Yet the signs of God's love are all around us. Despite our rejection of the ways of God, God continues to call us and seek us out. God, who is rich in mercy, continues to love us where we would least expect it. And God isn't some vengeful, stern ruler whose mind Jesus came to change. God's whole essence is love. St. Augustine said, God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. The humanity of Christ is God's fullest sign of love for us. God raises up his Son as a new light to illuminate our hearts, to make us see things as God sees them, to share God's hope for humanity's redemption. Brothers and sisters, the cross for the Christian is a sign of contradiction. Belief in the crucified Lord calls us to repentance and healing. The cross is also a call to wholeness in Christ. It calls us to respond with love for our neighbor. Not the neighbor we choose to love, but the neighbor who is addicted, who is selfish, who is without, the neighbor we can't stand. Just as earth only gradually comes into the full light between its turn at the spring equinox and the summer solstice, so our coming to the light is a gradual process. And that's the way it is for Nicodemus. He first meets Jesus in the darkness, taking an initial tentative step toward the light. Finally, at the end of the gospel after Jesus' crucifixion, it was the same Nicodemus who found the courage to accompany Joseph of Arimathea to prepare the body of Jesus for burial, an expression of his definitive choice to come to the light. My friends, in the gospel, Nicodemus was told that people can choose to believe or not believe in Christ. They can prefer darkness to light. There has always been a choice. And today the choice is ours to make. But will we make it? Amen.
Amen.